Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2093 with a release date of Friday, December 8th, 2017, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST, the radio journey of Canada's Polar Prince, isn't over just yet. Hams in India assist in tracking criminals, and the new operating mode FT8 makes its debut at a party. All of this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2093 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from St. Louis, Missouri, here's Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
We open this week's report with an update on the Canada C-3 expedition vessel, the Polar Prince. It has completed its historic journey via the Northwest Passage. But its radio adventure is far from over, as we hear from Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
The Polar Prince is heading home to Canada's east coast. The Canada C-3 expedition vessel completed its 150-day journey to British Columbia via the Northwest Passage on October 28th, transmitting as CG3EXP. That call sign has since been retired, but the ship will continue with its Ultimate 3 WSPR beacon, identifying as VE0EXP now as it ventures east through the Panama Canal. Listeners with an HF receiver and the WSPR application can hear its signal and track its path on WSPRnet. The expedition credits Michael VE7XMC, a graduate student from the University of Victoria, with helping implement that changeover. Hams are especially encouraged to continue tracking the vessel. The expedition from Toronto to Victoria, with visits to 75 communities in between, marked Canada's 150th birthday. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
In one community in India, the real power of ham radio isn't necessarily measured in watts, as John Williams, VK4JJW, tells us.
Ham radio operators in Pune, India, are teaming up with local law enforcement officials to harness the power of modern communications to help locate criminals. With the assistance of the local amateurs, the wireless department of the Maharashtra Police is hoping to develop a mobile locator to track cell phones that are being rendered otherwise untrackable. The new initiative was announced December 2nd by Abdur Rahman, Deputy Inspector General of Police, at a local ham radio club event. Ham Radio Club Advisor Vilas Rabde, VU2VPR, said that an innovation hub is being developed by the police department's wireless division, and the technical knowledge of the hams will prove invaluable here. He said that at present, criminals are able to stay several steps ahead of authorities because they can't be tracked by their mobile phones. The individuals being sought often change the phone's SIM cards and phone numbers too rapidly, he said. The hams, however, are making progress. Deputy Inspector Rahman said the initiative is expected to go live very soon. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
Meanwhile, in southern India, hams were out in force after a deadly cyclone swept through two coastal states. We hear more from Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
When Cyclone Oki hit the Indian state of Kerala on the 30th of November, a ham radio network based at Cherrotoni stepped in to help locate and ensure the safety of boats stranded in the waters off the southern coastal region. According to Manoj Galaxy, Victor Uniform 2 Delta Tango Hotel, initial communication attempts via simplex did not get very far and were frequently disrupted until the hams were able to connect with a repeater station at Calvary Mount, a station that is 5,000 feet above sea level. Finally confident in its connections, the hams were able to make use of the repeater to listen to any signs of distress calls. The station was able to relay information to the Coast Guard and other rescue entities. Between wireless and GPS, the operation was a success. Stranded fishing boats were soon spotted, and rescuers could then step in. According to some news reports, the cyclone's deadly force in parts of Kerala and Tamil Nadu killed at least 12 before heading off to the islands. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The French amateur radio community is marking the loss of one of the world's oldest hams, as we hear from Ed Durand, DD5LP.
While there are no official records tracking who is the world's oldest amateur radio operator, clearly it could have been Jean Tussaud, F8IL of Albi, France, who at 109 years of age had only been off the air for 4 years. At 105, the retired industrial designer was still operating on CW with a mix of the old and the new. His transceiver was a modern Yaesu rig, and his key was the old-fashioned kind. A native of Algeria, Jean has died in France. He had been a member of France's amateur radio society, the REF, and the Union of French Telegraphists. Widely known for his proficiency in CW, he received the gift of a custom Morse key on the occasion of his 100th birthday. He had learned CW while in the military over the course of 2 months, and it was enough to last a lifetime for the man known as the Dean of French Radio Amateurs. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Pirate radio fans, listen up. Radio Caroline is now licensed and onshore, as Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us.
It's almost as if the old Ross Revenge pirate ship had come ashore, except this time things are different. Radio Caroline hasn't just come ashore from its pirate ship, it's now legally riding waves of a different kind, radio waves. Licensed now by Ofcom, the world-renowned former pirate radio station reports it's been getting very good reception with its 1 kilowatt ERP operation on 648 kHz. This frequency was at one time allocated to the BBC for its world service broadcasts, mostly in English, and earlier this year it was allocated to Radio Caroline. Transmissions can either originate from studios on land or from the restored Ross Revenge ship moored on the River Blackwater, where interested parties can even take a trip out to visit the ship for just £25. Full details, www.radiocaroline.co.uk. The medium wave frequency also seems to suit it well. Its own reports show it's been heard in Italy, Finland, and even Japan. Signal quality has also been encouraging, the operators say. The station has even been inundated with offers of MP3 recordings of their transmissions, which for now they're politely declining. Standard reception reports, however, can be submitted on their website, www.radiocaroline.co.uk. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Get ready to party. The weekend of December 16th and 17th is set aside as the European Radio Amateurs Organization event on the air, which this year features operations on FT8, one of ham radio's newest modes. Make your contacts, exchange your call sign, locator, and give your signal report, but remember, it's not a contest. It's more like a radio meetup. There will be a certificate of participation for amateurs who send their log in with at least 10% of the QSOs confirmed. Logs are being kept to gather statistical data only and should be submitted in ADIF format to party@eurao.org using your call sign as the name of the file. FT8 mode, which was still in beta testing mode this summer, is considered a good mode for HFDXing. It is often used in situations such as multi-hop ease, where openings may be short and signals may be weak and fading. QSOs can often be made quickly. This is the first party of its kind being held by the group, and members are hoping that FT8 will give hams something to celebrate. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W9 ELK repeater in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, on Mondays at 8 p.m. One ham club in Norway gave a bit of a history lesson to on-air listeners with the help of a very old transmitter. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has that story.
There's no transmitter like an old transmitter, and what better way to celebrate one that had gone into service 80 years ago than to get it back on the air? That's what a group of hams in Norway did on Sunday the 26th of November with a Telefunken long-wave medium-wave transmitter station, an old medium-wave broadcast station outside Bergen. The Bergen Amateur Radio Club, LA1ASK, reports that their listener response from that day's activation from the station site came from radio enthusiasts in the UK, Finland and beyond. The hams were marking the transmitter's first day on the air, which had been the 28th of November 1937. The club's shack is inside the broadcast station, which is considered a museum site, and so a number of its transmissions, such as this one, are done in the interest of preserving history. As for the Telefunken 20 kilowatt transmitter, it was finally taken out of service in 1978 and is apparently the only one left of its kind. Club station LA1ASK uses much more modern equipment, an IC7600 and an ACOM PA. The club is active on the bands from 160 to 10 metres. There's also a connection via Echolink. The station sometimes uses the call sign LA1C when it's active on behalf of the Norwegian Relay League. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Here's another story of longevity. This time, it's about two ham operators in Indiana. They're marking 60 years on the air. Jack Parker, W8ISH, brings us this report courtesy of Amateur News Weekly.
It's always nice to be recognized for making amateur radio an outstanding hobby. Two Indiana hams were recognized recently by the Northwest DX Group for longevity. The Northwest DX Club presented two of their own with certificates for achieving 60 years of amateur radio participation. The awards went to Jerry Hess, W9KTP, and Alex Kostanek, K9KAN. Group President John Poindexter presented the awards. Reporting for Amateur News Weekly, this is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
For more news from the Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky area, visit AmateurNewsWeekly.com. You say you haven't worked W1AW yet? Well, now you have even more of a chance to get it in your logbook. Starting January 2nd, the ARRL's Maxim Memorial Station will have scheduled transmissions on 6 meters, the band where the station once operated regularly until late 1989. W1AW will include 50.350 MHz in its regular CW code practice and will also use the frequency for its digital, CW, and phone bulletins. 6 meters will also act as a beacon, and hams may send their signal reports by email or through the web. In Canada, it's almost decision time. Officials are looking at handheld radio use behind the wheel. Heather Emby, KB3TZD, has the details.
On January 1st, the 5-year exemption permitting drivers' handheld use of two-way radios in Ontario, Canada, is set to expire. Radio Amateurs of Canada has been waiting to hear from the Ontario Ministry of Transportation about the fate of the exemption from the province's distracted driving law. RAC Directors Alan Boyd, VE3AJB, and Phil McBride, VA3QR, had met with Ontario transportation officials earlier this year and declared the session productive, but are still awaiting word. The RAC has formed a committee to work with both Ontario and British Columbia, both of which have distracted driving regulations. In British Columbia, amateurs have been permitted since February of this year to drive while operating radios that have push-to-talk buttons. According to the RAC's website, there will be a decision on the Ontario regulations prior to the 1st of January, and the RAC has pledged to issue a bulletin as soon as there's an update. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
In the world of DX, listen for Jacques, F6HMJ, operating as 6W7/F6HMJ from Senegal between December 21st and January 15th. He will be active using CW with some SSB on 20 through 10 meters. Send QSLs via his home call sign. Off the Senegal coast, a group of four operators is using the call sign 6V1A from Goree Island between December 15th and 17th. Listen for them on CW and SSB on all HF bands. According to the most recent 6V1A page on QRZ, all QSLs should be sent to Post Office Box 971, Dakar, Senegal. Lester W8YCM is using the call sign 6Y6Y in Negril, Jamaica through January 2018. Lester is working holiday style on a number of HF bands. Send QSLs via W8YCM direct only. Rich PA0RRS is on Penang Island operating as 9M2MRS until January 31st. Listen for Rich on 40 through 10 meters using CW, RIDI, and PSK. Send QSLs to his home call sign via Club Logs, OQRS, LOTW, or EQSL. In our final story, we find ourselves once again welcoming ham radio as a film or TV hero. In this case, it's a film that is just now making its premiere in Cuba. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us more.
It's not quite true, but it's not quite false. The story of Sergio, the Cuban amateur radio operator, and Sergei, the Mir space station cosmonaut, is indeed the stuff of fiction. The movie is making its premiere at the International Festival of New Latin American Cinema, which opened in Havana December 7. Its story follows the friendship of a Cuban amateur with an orbiting cosmonaut who's stranded in space in 1991 as the Soviet Union crumbles during its final days. The 93-minute movie is directed and co-written by Ernesto Daranis, who told several media outlets that the film is a fictionalized account based on several real-life exchanges that Cuban amateurs had had with Soviet crews at that time in history. Sergei is the cosmonaut stranded on the Mir. His counterpart, Sergio, the ham, is a Marxist philosophy professor watching his own world in Cuba struggle with very down-to-earth economic crises. Ham radio gives rise to a growing friendship between the two men, both adrift in their respective universes, and it eventually widens to include a US journalist covering NASA, played by American actor Ron Perlman. The film reflects a greater friendship, however, one not evident on screen. The warmer relations between the US and Cuba and their cooperation in the production. What better way to honor the spirit of ham radio than to bridge two worlds here on Earth? For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, Deadline Hollywood, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, The Hindu Newspaper, the IARU, IMDb.com, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ, Radio Amateurs of Canada, Radio Caroline, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, The Times of India, Whispernet.org, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Christian Kudnick, K0STH in St. Louis, Missouri, saying 73, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017, all rights reserved.